Aloha and welcome to Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic. I'm your cosmic guide and host, Charlotte Sivak, transmitting to you from the waterfall capital of the world, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. We would also like to thank Patrick Bernard for that incredibly beautiful rendition of Radha Govinda, which you just heard from his album, Chakra Celebration. And you can find out more about his music at patrickbernard.com. Now we're going to have Peeta Panos, our travel guru, who's going to be joining us later in the show, where with each broadcast, Peeta showcases a different fabulous destination for soul travel, sacred sites, vortexes, and exploring magical places worldwide. She is the owner and director of spiritualquestjourneys.com. And we are so excited that you guys have decided to join us today for this yummy awakening magical cosmic hour, enjoying the nectar of life as we actualize heaven on earth, helping you to experience your vastness while expanding the collective consciousness with amazing synchronicities, all the while daring you to be the masterpiece that you were created to be. Now, this exotic hour is brought to you by, and of course, you know, we have to do these little plugs, by spiritualquestjourneys.com. When you invest in spiritual travel, you always come back richer. And melissasallo.com for a healthier, happier you. And myself, of course, Charlotte Sivak. So you can check me out at charlottesivak.com, where you can find out about all the services that I also offer on soul readings, medical intuition, quantum healing, psychic readings, holographic journeys, Akashic records, past, present, future lives, you name it. So, you know, please check it out, charlottesivak.com, or drop me an email and to set up a time for your session. And we also have a few quick announcements just before we get to our incredible guests, who I'm so excited to have them on the show. I've had the pleasure of meeting them. They are just amazing. They're the authors of this fantastic book that I read, and wow, it's called One Great Year. So we're going to have them on in just a minute. But our quick announcement just before we start is Egypt is our tour coming up on May 1st to the 13th, which is called Divine Egyptian Magic. And of course, we also have a new journey that's coming up to Namibia about animal communication and crystal therapy in the cradle of life. So this is going to be a mind-blowing experience. So please check it out. You can look us up at spiritualquestjourneys.com for more information on these tours. And we got to say, for today's fantastic, wild card, multi-layered, multi-dimensional. You know, there's just enough adjectives to describe how awesome this show gets. We have such amazing guests that join us that really the show is planned moment to moment. And we want to spark your creativity, infusing you all with infinite possibilities as we awaken your divine magical child. So why don't we all just dare you to risk living in divine orgasmic ecstasy? That sounds pretty good to me. And the incredible guests that we have today, like I mentioned earlier, Renee and Tamara, I'm so excited to invite them on the show, and I'm so glad they agreed to come on. I met them a few months ago in Toronto, and we were at a show together, and we were just across from each other, and it was such a busy show, but we were just so drawn to each other, and I wish I had had more time to talk to them in person, but, you know, what mattered was that we made this incredible soul connection, and they wrote this amazing book that is just so utterly mind-blowing that I got to tell you, you have to go out and get it, because it is, when you read it, you will find a piece of yourself in it, you will find an aspect that will awaken you, or maybe just answer some of the questions that you yourself have been seeking and searching for. You know, you got to say, I love their bio, which you know, I love how they started. It says, what happens when two passionate writers, artists, fall in love and decide to make an uncommon life together? Well, we're definitely going to find out in a minute. And we're going to ask them about that as well, too, because we got to know their secret. Their award-winning novel, One Great Year, and its forthcoming sequels are just a few of the awesome possibilities. So born and raised in the Vancouver area, Rene DeFazio is an actor, screenwriter, and producer with numerous film and television roles to his credit, as well as countless commercials and print ads. After spending several or many years backpacking and filming, Rene drew upon his abundance of unusual and exciting experiences to create One Great Year. His tireless research and firsthand knowledge of exotic locations, custom sights, and smells helped to bring this epic story to life. And his partner, Tamara Vici, is a writer, artist, and mother. She grew also up in Vancouver area and attended Simon Fraser University to study English and philosophy. Tamara worked as a special education assistant. Oh, sorry, I misread that. Psychology. Tamara Roque is a special assistant for the Vancouver School Board and later opened up her own mural painting business. Now, one great year, this incredible book that we're talking about right now took them 4 years to research and write. The authors are currently pending the second and third books to the One Great Year series, which I personally can't wait to read, and are filming a documentary while touring North America and offering free seminars where they discuss the ancient histories, modern sciences, and inspirations layered throughout One Great Year. And you can find out more about them at onegreatyear.com. Welcome to the show, Tamara and Renee. I'm so happy to have you on as guests and I guess finally to be able to actually talk.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. It was
very happy to be here.
Yeah, that was an amazing introduction. We've very rarely had such a welcome.
Oh, that, I'm so happy that you feel that. Welcome. We just love doing the show, and we are so blessed to have such incredible listeners across the globe. And to have guests like you is just so beautiful, and to you know, keep bringing forth all this incredible, I don't want to say new, information, because we're kind of remembering the old, you know, the information and bringing it into the new, but to really just ignite people. And it's just always amazing to have incredible people like yourself on the show, and to talk about the extraordinary things that you're accomplishing and that you're doing is so wonderful. So thank you so much. And I gotta say, how did this start?
Wow.
Do we start
with the love story, or do we start with the bones and how we actually began writing? I think they're almost inseparable, aren't they, Ren?
Pretty much, definitely. I think, you know, Tam and I, we started dating, and both of our lives did not make sense together. And, you know, of course, we were madly in love, and we did not want to part. So we thought, how can we make this work? And that was kind of the catalyst that started us off on our journey.
Right. I think when you say we didn't make sense together, I'll give you a little bit of background on that. I was a mom, mother of three, little children, one still in diapers, going through a divorce, which is never easy for anyone. And Rennie was a backpacking, barely working actor, and a bachelor with no children. So it was, yeah. You know, it was a big chew to try and combine our lives and create and we truly decided to create a life that we wanted to live.
That is so beautiful. And what I love about it is that it's so honest and it's so refreshing.
Well, you know, it's not easy to transition through those big changes in life. And they come to us, sometimes we're prepared for them, sometimes we're steering the boat, sometimes, you know, we're being pushed along. But taking back the reins and saying, okay, what should it look like? And a big aspect for us was how can we give back? How can we contribute to the world? How can we do something worthwhile?
Be of service, essentially.
How did you just begin dreaming about this one night, these incredible characters? Or how did it all just begin to unfold for you two?
Yeah, what happened is initially I had a 15-page treatment that I wrote. I was traveling, actually I traveled to Egypt. And I took a book with me called Fingerprints of the Gods by Graham Hancock. Mm. And in that book, he talks about this alternative history concept and all of these clues that are left all over the world. So I thought, what an amazing world. And what would happen if we injected two, you know, our characters into that scenario? And that was the beginning point. And then I wrote this 15-page outline about Marcus and Theron, who reincarnate. Marcus would have past life memory, and his soulmate Theron would not.
But the interesting thing is, Reddy wrote that many years before he met me, and it sat waiting. It was going to be a swan song. As an actor and director and producer, he knew that someday he was going to have the opportunity to have that screenplay fully fleshed out and written. And when Rennie and I said, you know, we want to create a life together, he literally threw his hands up in the air and said, how can we make this work one evening? And loud and clear.
Yeah, loud and clear. I heard a voice in my head, and like all we all do at one point in our lives, was write a book, you idiot. And I went, of course. And so I pitched that story to Tam, and then the next day we began writing One Great Year.
Well, that is incredible. And that is so incredible how it all just unfolds. And it doesn't matter what you write about. If there is no love in the story, it just doesn't anchor. And to bring it in from such an angle as I was reading the book myself, I mean, you could feel the heart-wrenching heartbreak of what he was experiencing through each of his past lives. But you know, again, the message of how powerful love truly is incredible. And mm-hmm. I have to say, I think that is why it just also, too, not only because the information and the incredible journeys that they experience together within the books are so utterly mind-blowing, that base, that anchoring of love is what just carries through the entire book, and it's just beautiful. So I can only imagine how passionate your love life is.
Well, I'm not complaining.
Nor I.
You know, it took 3.5 years to research and write One Great Year. And for us, I'm going to give Rennie full credit for this. He is a brilliant researcher and has an imagination that I've never met anybody with the imagination that he has. And what was really important for us, and you touched on it, Charlotte, is that we wanted it to ring true. It had to resonate. So there was a point where early in the process, where I turned to Rennie and said, it's fiction. We can make it do whatever we want. And he said to me, no. We have to be as true to how it really works. So it's because of Rennie that it took 3.5 years to research this book. I would have made leaps that, you know, are we sure about this? Are we sure? Well, we don't have to be sure. He really taught me that, yes, we do have to get as much information and as much truth in this as possible. And now, I mean, that's a no-brainer. We're working on book two, and we know when we don't have an answer, we wait, we search, we work, and the answers come.
That is amazing. I can only wait to see what happens. I won't ask for a little tidbit, but I won't. So.
We're very excited about the second.
We can't sleep at night.
Can you imagine? And I'm thinking too, like, where do you go? What is the next realm of lessons going to be? It's pretty cool. Or are you going to delve back into some of the lifetimes you didn't go over? Because, of course, it's over a course of so many thousands of years.
You will just have to wait and see.
I know. Sure. Give me the carrot.
That's right. We cannot announce it over the radio.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Of course.
There's so many.
Now you have some incredible lifetimes that you discuss or go through in the book, and I'm not sure how to ask this question. Whether to say which one was your favorite one to write, or maybe which one did you learn the most from, or how, in the reflection of this, how much closer did you come to knowing yourself? I'm sorry, it's like a whole bunch of questions all thrown into one. So
you know what? My thank you for that question, because every single part of my body responds to that question. For us, every single lifetime is like a family member. It's like one of our children. And trying to differentiate between which child you love more is so impossible. But we do see our favorite qualities about each lifetime. We do know, like, which, I mean, for me, at Stonet Center, Marcus is the first lifetime that we really delve into from the opening. Marcus is in ancient Bolivia, and he is a mother and a woman, and that, for me, because I am a mother in this lifetime, absolutely called upon every deepest part of me and my fears and my, you know, everything that I could call upon from my experience went into that. Rennie's experience with the Mongolian chapter, it was really similar, right, Ren?
Yeah, I love the Mongols, just because it opened up the story so much. And it was, you know, the fact that we got to visit Shambhala in the Mongolian section was magical for me. But, you know, I tell you that the ancient Greek lifetime is the one that we actually worked on the hardest, because there was all that information is documented. So we had to go through all the works of Aristotle and Plato and Socrates and really find the voice of that section, of that storyline.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because when people come to us, so many people say the lifetime, Plato's lifetime, is my favorite. And they don't know why. But it really calls to people. And but, you know, the nice thing is that because there's so many different, really, truly unique experiences and lifetimes in the story, there is something for everyone. Everybody,
you know, I always wonder if making this into a movie is too small. It feels like, it kind of reminds me of like what's happened with Game of Thrones, where it's turned into this mini series so that you can actually focus on more of the lifetimes and be able to bring in more of that. That would just be so fascinating to be able to, I mean, that's just me, but anyway.
No, you're absolutely correct. That would be amazing. We would be extremely happy if that scenario should happen to come.
And it's very possible, but we're not allowed to talk about it.
No worries. Yes, I totally understand. It would be, there's just so much vast information and so many amazing experiences through the whole thing. I loved how you pulled in these historical characters through all these years and made them a central figure within the story, and how you brought it together was incredible. And I mean, anybody who's interested in ancient history, whether it's a Greek mythology, I had never read anything about Bolivia. So that was just mind blowing for me as well too. And to be able to bring this forward, I mean, it'll stimulate so many of your senses, because there's such a, I just can't stop going on about this book. I was so blown away by reading it that when I finished it, I cried, and no book has ever done that to me. I felt like I was leaving my family. It was so weird. So,
well, thank you so much. You know, I can't even, I think we're so, so fortunate, because every day we get to live in gratitude for what people are doing for this book, for the feedback people are giving us about this book. I got a call 2 days ago from India, an email, and it said, I have a friend who's coming to India. I have an e-book, but I want a hard copy. I want to hold this book in my hands. Can I get one that's signed? And, you know, absolutely. You know, we are so thrilled to share this, and One Great Year is in 14 countries.
Oh, amazing. And that's only going to expand.
Yeah.
We've had people, there was a guy in that donated $18,000 to an orphanage in Israel after reading the book. There was another man that quit his job. Other people have left bad relationships. Another guy bought a round-the-world ticket.
Yeah.
It's really igniting a fire under people, and that's so rewarding on so many levels.
Well, you know, and for our purpose, I mean, when we wrote the book, one of the first people who read it was the gentleman who made the charity donation, fulfilling a past promise, and he was so profoundly touched. that Rennie and I looked at each other at that point, before the book was even really out there, and said, if that's all this book ever does, we've done enough. And to see what it's doing now, seriously, you know, Rennie and I are both very aware that gratitude and love are almost one and the same. And and when you can live in that place of just pure gratitude, your heart is so open and so full of love. And wow, we get to live there. We get to create from that place. And we're just really thrilled to be there.
Well, that's really beautiful. And I mean, again, I just can't say enough for everyone listening in. We're talking to, I'm sorry if I said your name wrong, Tamara Vici and Renee DeFazio, who wrote the incredible book, One Great Year. You can find out more about them at onegreatyear.com. And I mean, just, I can't speak enough about this book. Now, I want to bring forward the sacred geometry that you used in it so that our listeners too can, you know, those who are identified with the symbol of the flower of life can connect with it. And how you say you also travel doing many free seminars as well too. So please tell us more about that, what you cover and how you integrated the symbol of the flower of life into the book.
Well, you know, it's funny, when we started off writing this book, and we knew that our main character was going to be 13,000 years old. So we started off with the question, what would a 13,000-year-old man know that the rest of us do not? So we started looking into information, sacred geometry and quantum mechanics and, you know, astrophysics and everything that we could possibly look into, that trying to find some kind of secret that somebody might have that nobody really knows about. And all of a sudden, we became aware of this seed of life symbol. And when we realized that the actual symbol is an information system, and what that system entails and what it actually tells you about the makeup of the universe. So it's once we found that information, then we found it everywhere, all over the world, in everything.
Hidden in plain sight.
Plain sight. And it was like, it almost felt like there was a cosmic joke, and we discovered the punchline.
Yeah. The universe is mathematic. It is repeating form. We're all connected. And the flower of life is a grid that expands infinitely in every direction. And once you have that tiny symbol and you connect to it, the character we talked about in Bolivia, Sartania, she has that symbol, a marking on her shoulder. And it's pivotal in the storyline, because it's pivotal for all of us when you do connect with something so visceral that attaches us to one another. Your life will change.
I gotta say, what I found amazing and really interesting was how you named Atlantis, how it was a totally different name, and how through the mythology, you even explained it in the book, that people would know that era as Atlantis. How did that come about? Was that just, again, something you dreamt about, or through
as
research?
As a writer, we knew that people had heard too much of Atlantis, and if we opened our story with the word Atlantis, we were going to lose a huge number of readers before they gave us the benefit of the doubt. And Atitala is an equally valid name for Atlantis, and it's a more ancient name, and it really goes back to Plato's time. So we were totally okay with using that name and kind of lulling people in before they realized that it's something they've heard of before.
That's brilliant. And I got to say, too, the stuff you wrote about the dark side was mind-blowing. That scene where Marcus goes into the cave and sees the ritual that's going on, mind-blowing. I mean, just the way you described it, I can only imagine how, even through your research, how you came about to even write something like that.
You know, I've been lucky enough to have traveled a lot of the world. And, you know, when you go into the catacombs of France and you see those little tiny holes that you know that a baby was put into, or you see the artwork in Cambodia when the Khmer Rouge, killed 3 million of their people, or 11 mm-hmm. million of their people in a short period of time, and how they did it, and seeing what they did to the children, and that, you know, it sticks with you. But, to experience the light, you have to be aware of the dark.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And for us to be real, we had to show the balance of light and dark. For us to actually give a book that is full of truth and hope and inspiration, we couldn't pretend that the dark didn't exist.
That's why I liked it so much, because I found it to be so much more real. And how incredible it was, too, that the character that is holding the dark aspect, how he also goes through the lifetimes and how he brings that forth is astounding. And what I loved about it is how, I don't want to give away the ending, but I love how the dark side of it resolves in the end. I was even myself trying to figure out how that was going to happen. And what I also want to say too is this book will activate you. It will inspire you, and it will make you also look at your shadow side. And there's many things that when you're reading, or even like pop culture now, the movies, there's some unbelievable, some of the information that comes across. And if you're that astuned or attuned into it, you can actually embrace that grief, that pain, and heal it within yourself, which of course only helps the world expand in its own consciousness and energy. And what I found was that one of the things that I myself do is I travel a lot back and forth with the Akashic Records, where I'm clearing contracts. But I don't just do it on a personal level now. I'm doing it on a global scale. And I actually did go into the Akashic Records at some of the points that I had read, and had gone and cleared stuff out that I found that was, you know, irritating me or made me go, wow, I really need to deal with this. So it was so incredible on both sides. And it really, I mean, for those of you who are listening and those of you who are more in tune, it'll also help you to embrace just so much more about yourself. It's just such an incredible story.
Thank you. Well, you know, I think that it's important to acknowledge that we have all been light and dark, that we all have the capacity to be both. And only then, when we forgive ourselves for that and choose to act better, can we evolve. Because out of forgiveness, you know, we can clear all that old stuff.
Absolutely. So beautifully put.
Thank you.
I love too, like, how the death aspect of it, I think, was brilliant. So that if anybody who reads it and is still afraid of death, it really helps them to understand that the soul is eternal and how the body is just a vehicle. And even though you didn't come out and, you know, say that specifically, but it was just amazing how it really helps, you know, you, I guess, on a subconscious level, also to understand that whole aspect of the soul being eternal. I mean, we hear it all the time, but you don't always understand it.
Right. And I think that it's important when we know that we're eternal, that we're reincarnating, that we're having that experience, you can accept death as part of the journey, but we still have to honor that we're human.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean, and it's okay to still have emotion and to have grief. But it's how you compartmentalize that. It's what you do with it that changes drastically.
Wow. You guys, on so many levels, I want to say, either answered things or brought forth ideas or inspired people on just such an incredible, vast, multidimensional level that it's, I remember when I first picked up the book, it was vibrating in my hand, and I thought, wow. So it's incredible, and really, again, I just want to say to our listeners, you definitely want to check this book out, because it will make you question things, it will make you open your eyes more, it'll make you fall in love. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, one of our favorite comments has been over and over, couples that are really in love that read this and that read it together say, we feel like Marcus and Theron. And there's no better compliment, and it's making them appreciate each other. It's making them look at their lover as their divine partner and respect that and honor it.
I like hearing the comment, is this real? Well, so many people, they've not heard of this great year cycle. And this great year cycle that is the backdrop of our book, One Great Year, it is written about in 31 ancient civilizations. And it actually coincides with the Earth spinning one time on its wobble. It's written about in a textbook called Hamlet's Mill. And it kind of basically suggests that there is a rise and fall of human consciousness. And there's you know, we have all experienced the dark side, and we are all working towards the light. And it's kind of like time is not linear, but cyclical.
Yes, that understanding is unbelievable. And I loved how you really brought that forth, that understanding where you could see the wave of the pattern, especially through the Mongolia life, where you could see the depth of the shadow. And I loved how that traveling aspect to Shambhala, just to give them sort of like a respite, was incredible. Like, brilliant. What a brilliant way to put it in there.
Thank you.
You know, you're rooting for them to reconnect, to re-remember the information that they've lost. And when we get a glimpse of that, it you can't help but cheer for them.
Incredible. So what do you guys do with your free time?
Okay, well, we have three children who are awesome. We are working full-time on the next book, on radio programs, on television programs, on articles. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember really the last day we've had off. It's been about 4 years of solid work. I think we've had a handful of time off. We have traveled because we were doing research for the book, and we got a chance to go to Bolivia. And in where that lifetime takes place, Stone at Center, is an actual real monument called Tiwanaku. And Tiwanaku is an amazing place because, first it's up very high on the Antiplano, and then it has... It's almost a one-off structure. There's things that happen, the way that structure is built, that are not seen anywhere else in the world other than Egypt.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. And, you would appreciate this, Charlotte, and I know many of your listeners would. The vibration in Tiwanaku at the monument and in Pumapunku, which is right next door, and the monoliths that are there, the energy level, you can feel the vibration everywhere you go. It's surreal. I've never been anywhere like that in my life.
Wow. Oh, it's so funny. All the off-beaten path and some of the things that you find in the areas. What drew you to Bolivia to add that into the story? How did that come about?
Oh, that's a great question.
That is an awesome question.
Well, I tell you, before we started writing, when we were trying to actually figure out how we could have a life together, I had purchased a ancient stone head in Hawaii at a flea market. Yes, and I was doing research on it, and I was trying to find out where it was from. And that led me to Tiwanaku, because Tiwanaku has three temples, but one of the temples is kind of a subterranean temple. And in that temple are something like 150 or 175 heads that go all the way around the inside of this temple. And what's unique about the heads is that they actually are images of all the different types of people around the world, including the grays. They've actually got a head of one of the gray...
An alien.
the alien grays, right?
So. Yeah, it was actually super creepy because we took a whole bunch of pictures in this subterranean, and all the different cultures that are represented speak to the fact that these ancient people knew about all these other cultures far before travel between them was supposed to have been possible.
And in the center of that temple is what's believed to be a great year clock.
Unbelievable.
So, it's a very, very magical place.
And we had it all to ourselves. It was I mean, it's not simple to get to. You can get there from La Paz. It's a few hours from La Paz, and we would recommend it absolutely to your traveling sacred sites. And, you know, we do plan to lead people there ourselves as directors, and give seminars on site there, because that really feels like something we've been called to do.
That is incredible. Sign me up for that.
Yeah.
You could do a read at the temple, boy. Wouldn't that be a magical experience?
Oh, my. Well, you know, we can always teleport.
Yes, that's true. That's absolutely
right
true.
Right on that. I'm totally there. There is, through all of this experience that you've gone through these last few years, both parts of it, falling in love, writing this amazing book, what would you say is the one true thing now that you feel that you know about life? I don't want to say business, because that makes it sound sort of, you know, I don't want to drop you on a hard, cold floor here. But yeah, what do you think know now about life and about your, you know, the success or yes, the business, the way you're bringing all of this forth?
You know, for me, Charlotte, and I hope this answers your question. When I started this process, I was not a believer in terms of anything happening beyond my life. And I had an epiphany when I started looking for the information. And I think that was the key. You have to actually personally look for the information. And once you look for it, you can't help but find it in everything. And I think once I had that awakening experience, depression and anxiety and fear and everything melts away. So no matter what happens in life, you kind of really look at it like, okay, this is a lesson. What am I supposed to be learning? Instead of freaking out about what's happening in your life, you kind of go, what am I supposed to learn from this or these events?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I didn't know what Rennie's answer was going to be, and I just came up with one word, and that is surrender. I can only be the best person I can be. I can make the best choices that I can possibly make given the information I have at that time. My journey is no one else's journey. Their journey is their own journey, so I have no point to judge it. And I now do my best and surrender to the universe that what is meant to be will be as it is meant to be at all times.
That's so powerful. And I hope that what you just said can spark, you know, even if it's just one person who's listening, it can spark their imagination and just give them that sense to just let go. And
right.
I have to say, I'm really blown away by the way you answered that, both of you, but Renee, especially for the fact that you said you didn't really have belief before. Because, you know, after reading this book, I just, and this is my thing, I assumed that you both were fully awakened and have been pretty much your whole lives to be able to write the things that you wrote about. And to be able to do that and bring it forth in such a short amount of time is incredible and just such a compliment to your soul and to your soul's purpose and to reclaiming your power. It's beautiful. And I think that by that incredibly honest answer, that can help so many people themselves who are searching, who may have given up thinking, well, this is something I should have been doing my whole life, and I, you know, or kicking themselves or feeling any form of regret or remorse for not doing it sooner, that you're also giving them hope to say it doesn't matter when you start, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charlotte, if it's of any help to any of your listeners, the way that it worked for me is I actually took up meditating. And
yeah.
I found that it took me a while to actually slow my mind down to the point where I could actually meditate. I mean, it took me at least 6 months. It was not an easy process. But once I got into that space where I could allow the universe to kind of talk to me, mm-hmm. All of a sudden you would get images in your head, and then it would be like as we were writing and we would get stuck and we needed stuff, something would happen and I would get an image or I'd get a thought in that meditation process, and then I would research it, and lo and behold, there was the answer to what we were looking for.
Incredible.
Yeah, that was very much a part of the process for both of us. The meditation really matters, and it matters in daily life, and that truly is part of surrender also, is that if you can't surrender if you're not listening to the answers.
Or the way the universe unfolds through synchronicity.
That's right. And, you know, we love synchronicity. We talk about synchronicity a lot in the book. And Carl Jung talked about it. And synchronicity, mm-hmm. just in case anyone doesn't know what it means, is those little things that happen in the world around us that seem to be unconnected but feel connected. They feel like they have a little meaning, and then we go, oh, poo-poo, it can't be. You know, it can't actually be talking to me right now. Well, once you start listening and seeing that when you're standing in front of a street sign going, which way am I supposed to go? Which way? And you look up and there's a giant billboard that says, go north, you know, that's part of some ad for something, but it's saying go north, right? As you're thinking, where do I go? Where do I go? Where do I go? Listen.
Or a flock of birds goes by the sky and it's going right, point yeah. with a big arrow.
Yes.
You know, take those coincidences. That's something I loved
stories.
About. Yeah, that's something we loved about Celestine Prophecy that I read in my 20s mm-hmm. that was really profound for me. It confirmed for me the belief that the universe was talking to me and that coincidence wasn't coincidence. That it was actually a nod in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm convinced that that's how the universe speaks. That's the language the universe uses, is synchronicity.
Yeah,
yeah, and symbols.
And numbers.
It's unbelievable what symbols do. I'm mm-hmm. obsessed with sacred geometry, so don't even get me started on that.
I am too.
The one quote that came to my mind as you were speaking was about the Carl Jung quote where they say, those who look outward dream and those who look inward awaken. Yeah. And it's so true. You have all the answers. You just need to listen. But what's interesting is it also depends on your astrological ring as well, too, what your lessons are for this life that you need to, you know, how mental you are. So that's mm-hmm. always interesting, too.
Now, I have a question for you on that aspect. My gut feeling is that though we have an astrological path and that we have, nothing is, our fate is not predetermined to the letter. All of our choices and how much energy we put
yes.
into this process, there is a fast track. You can take the slow track. Do you feel that way? Is that your experience?
You know, it's funny how you say that, because so many times I've done readings and I've seen the angels standing around people either wearing a baseball jersey or a football jersey. And in the beginning, I thought, what the hell are they doing? And
yeah.
they told me, they said that basically what they're trying to convey to the person is that they are their team and they're there to help them. But the problem is sometimes people like to run and hog the ball and run down the field and not allow themselves to have the help they need. So, of course, it delays and limits them. So.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome.
A brilliant way to answer it. So,
well,
absolutely.
You know what? We have learned that saying the words out loud, I need help, how can I do this,
yes.
give me strength, it matters. Now, our thoughts matter, our words matter, our actions all matter. They all hold energy. You know, quantum physics today is teaching mm-hmm. us that all of these things have a ton of power and energy around them. So we have to be, you know, we want to be cognizant and conscious, choose consciously everything that we do and say.
And that Tesla was 100 years ahead of his time.
Yeah, there's a few of them.
Well, you know, I'm sure being, you know, you love sacred geometry so much, I'm sure you've heard of that the hermetic mystery where it
yes.
says, I am the one that becomes two, that becomes four, that becomes eight. Then I am one again. Right? So essentially, it's describing the seed of life.
That resonates so much.
And that's an ancient written in, I think it's in the Egyptian Book of the Dead, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how far this stuff goes back. It's so, so interesting.
You guys have been such a pleasure to have on the show. My God, I know we could talk forever because this is such a fascinating topic and there's so many things we can get into. It's unfortunate our show is only an hour long. So we want to thank you so much for being present with us here today.
Thank you.
Once again, please check them out at onegreatyear.com. And Renee and Tamara, thank you so much for joining us today. You guys have been fabulous. And we have the travel guru who is going to be joining us in just momentarily. But is there anything you'd like to just add just before we bring on the travel guru?
We just want to give everybody blessings on your journey and go on the journey and search and be aware. And one of those places you can start, as Charlotte said, is onegreatyear.com. More information about us and our book, and we also put other things on there for people to follow the journey themselves, the inspirations that we followed getting where we got.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you so much. And now we want to bring forward, if you guys have just a few minutes to stick around with us, bring forward Peter Panos, who, again, with each broadcast, let's hear what fabulous place she has to talk about today. I just can't wait to hear what place she's picked today.
Well, today I'm going to be looking at the magnificent goddess culture in Malta.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yes, especially fabulous because Malta, in fact, has the oldest goddess culture in the world, which is over 6,000 years old. And there are incredible megalithic temples, and some are even constructed in the shape of goddesses' bodies. So it's really an exciting journey coming up from the 8th to the 15th of June in the to the Mediterranean island of Malta and the sister island Gozo as well. There are a lot of highlights in this tour. I think what will draw a lot of people is the fact that that Malta is a destination that you could easily spend 8 days just enjoying. The hotel that we've used is very centrally based, and you actually get to stay there the whole time. So it's one of those great places you can just unpack and enjoy. It's mm-hmm. in the center of Sliema, which is the major town on Malta, and we operate everything from there. One of the days we go over to Gozo, which is the... it's the island that often gets called Calypso's Island because of the legend of the nymph Calypso that kept Ulysses prisoner for 7 years. And there, you know, being such an old goddess culture in Malta, it was natural for us to link up goddess work and a goddess workshop for the eight-day journey there. The journey leader on this tour is a wonderful lady from South Africa. Her name is Lisa Gordon, and she's been a holistic therapist for over 20 years and has been really strongly influenced by her aptitude for the divine feminine energies, and in fact created the focused feminine goddess workshops. So she'll be running the goddess energy work and side of things, but it's not just energy work. We're going to be including movement, sound, meditations, journaling, as well as all the activations. So she's wonderfully grounded and really fantastic to have facilitating a group. So I'll be joining Lisa. So the two of us will be we'll be running the journey there. As I mentioned, the itinerary is stay put with a good balance of activities and leisure time. We're going to be visiting Medina, which is in the center of the island and considered one of the most beautiful examples of a medieval citadel in Europe. We also spend the day on Gozo, as I mentioned. And Gozo really does have its own character and energy. There are various temples and ruins on the island, but literally wherever you go, it's picture perfect. So that's going to be a fantastic day. And we also get to explore the towns, the various towns on Malta on foot. We actually do a sightseeing trip around the Grand Harbour, which is the largest harbour in Europe. And of course, the best way of seeing Malta is actually from the water. We get to visit the various temples and churches, also including the famous Hippogeum, which is an underground ritual chamber believed to represent the goddess' regenerative womb. And then the Taxian temples that are part of the Hippogeum are well known for their carvings. They're very, very detailed, and many of them are spirals and sacred geometry. So if you consider that they are over 6,000 years old, some of them, it brings in the realization that the ancient world was very aware of the sacred geometry and its effects. And then on the last day, we take a boat trip alongside the southern coastline of Malta, and you can see all of the flooded caves. There's one in particular, the Blue Grotto, which is quite famous, and we've timed it so that when we get there, the sun will be penetrating the furthest into the cave, so you get to see the colors of all the the water, which is incredibly blue inside, but also the cave itself. So that's going to be fabulous. So for more information on Malta, please visit spiritualquestjourneys.com. And remember, when you invest in spiritual travel, you always get back richer.
Peta, thank you so much. Yet again, you astound us with another incredible place that inspires and empowers. So that was such a great space. So again, Peta Panos of Spiritual Quest Journeys, thank you so much, our travel guru. And Tamara and Renee, we cannot thank you enough for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on. We'd love to have you back in the future, especially when you have your next book ready.
Thank you. We can't wait to come back.
That would be great, Charlotte.
Oh, thank you so much. And once again, Tamara and Renee, find them at onegreatyear.com. You definitely want to check out this book. Thank you so much for being with us. And thank you for joining us today. Wishing you all magical days. And, you know, of course, we cannot forget the nights full of cosmic ecstasy. Wishing you all infinite blessings. Aloha.
A harmonic new octave has arrived, so why not join us on Alternative Tuesdays at 2 p.m. PST for Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic with your cosmic guide and host, Charlotte Sivak. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio.